One of the things that I discovered in college and was able to pursue later in seminary was to find out that I love to study theology, the study of God. I like to think about God in my head, try and reason through the various problems of our faith and why we believe what we believe. In a lot of ways, that makes life more complicated. Sometimes it's easier just to say, that's what the church says. It's what it's always said. It's what we've always done. Of course we believe it. I get into big arguments with myself about why and what does it mean? Does it make sense? And what's the system of theology going on? That having been said, to have a feast today in devotion to the Most Holy Trinity is difficult to preach on anyway, because the Trinity itself, while we can kind of just say simply, we know what it is, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. That's simple enough. But when you really stop and think about that, it gets complicated. How can one God be three persons? And how can three persons, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1? And we get into all these problems that come up when you start to get into theology. So, a fair warning, if you're going to get into theology, bear warning. It can get tricky, especially when you try to do math with the Trinity. But if we have difficulties understanding the Trinity, we're in good company. Because I'm reminded of one of the great doctors of the church, St. Augustine. He wrote one of his most famous works on the Trinity, De Trinitate. Huge book. I looked for it over at the book sale. It wasn't there. But if you ever find it, it's big. He wrote volumes and volumes on the Trinity. He is one of the masters of understanding the Trinity. That having been said, while he was writing this book, it's said of St. Augustine that he himself was getting very frustrated. It's like, I don't get it. Every time he says, I think I get it, I realize I don't understand the first thing about the Trinity. One day, he writes that he was walking along the beach, and he had a vision. At least he came to understand it's a vision. He saw a young boy who was digging a hole in the sand by the beach, and he was running out to the ocean and cupping water in his hands and then bringing the water and depositing it in his little hole that he dug on the beach. And he was running back and forth and doing this over and over and over again. And Augustine saw him doing this, and he couldn't figure it out. He asked the boy, what are you doing? And the little boy said, I'm trying to put the sea into my hole. Augustine looked at the young boy and said, you will never be able to fit the ocean into that little hole in the sand. And the boy looked at Augustine and said, and neither will you be able to understand the meaning of the Most Holy Trinity. And then the little boy vanished, at least in his vision. So I think if we can't understand the Trinity, at least maybe that's how it's supposed to be. At least that's what Augustine was told, and he went on to write pages and pages and pages on it. What do we really believe about the Trinity? Well, we know we have three persons in the one God. All of them are God. But I thought I might look just a little bit today about the qualities of each person. The Father is ultimately given that title, Father, because he is the origin of all things. We see him described in our first reading today in wisdom personified, this kind of distant, abstract power that is the origin of everything at the beginning of the universe, creates. And then we see that distant power, it's in the Old Testament all over the place. We see God encountered on a mountaintop, and he speaks in fire and smoke, and doesn't seem to be the kind of guy that you could like sit down to have dinner with exactly. He's kind of distant and powerful and doesn't quite seem to have a deeply personal relationship. In fact, he's not often even referred to as Father in the Old Testament. For that, we need the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son. Indeed, the Father cannot be the Father without the Son. To be a father means precisely that you've had a son or a daughter. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. Because that distant power in the Father that we can't understand on its own, God knew that. He knew that we needed a concrete, tangible example. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get frustrated when people refer to God as love. God is love. And it's just like that should just sum it all up and we understand it immediately. To me, that just makes it harder. What does it mean to say God is love? Well, God knew that. And so he knew that he would have to send Jesus Christ, the Son, incarnate, in flesh, to show us What does it mean to say God loves us? Well, it means he goes around healing us. He teaches us. He wants us to know our faith. Ultimately, to say that God is love, Jesus showed us on the cross. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's how God loves us, and Jesus showed us that. This last weekend, God showed us that in the Holy Spirit, that same gift of power that Jesus had is given to the church, that we are to be alive with God. The Spirit is, just as the breath gives life to our bodies, so the breath of the Spirit gives life to the church, enables us to go out, carry on our mission, to continue to be God's presence in the world. The Holy Spirit is often shown as fire to show it is sanctifying us, burning away all that is unclean, and flaming our hearts with the love of God to go out and spread the good news. So we have God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But if we were to merely leave it at that, to say, well, now we understand a little bit about each of the three persons, that really wouldn't be enough. I think one of the most important lessons for this Trinity Sunday is to realize that God is himself not an isolated, solitary being. As John Paul II rightfully put it, God is a family. And that is unique in all the pagan myths and legends that ever speak of gods. Gods warring and fighting against each other, gods creating men. Nowhere else but in the Christian story do we have God as a family. I think that is the lesson for us today. To say that God is love, where do we see it best? Certainly Jesus on the cross, but I think also in the family. For each of our families is called to be a community of love, just as the Trinity is itself a community of love. That's why the apostles were gathered together in the upper room last weekend on Pentecost. It's why we have things like Summerfest, because we really couldn't be the parish that we are if we never came together as a community of love. Just coming to Mass even presupposes that it's a community that already exists outside of Mass that comes together as a community to offer our worship to God. So in some ways, you could say that Summerfest helps make us holy, makes us more the parish that we are. Whoever would have thought that eating hot dogs and then spinning yourself until you puke on the little spinning ride could make you holy? But it happens. And with all that messiness, that's our family. That's our parish family. And that's how God makes us holy. The God who is love knows that we are created in his image, and he makes us holy. So today we are grateful for the gift of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit revealed to us in all the theology of the church. And we are grateful especially for the way we see the love of God lived in our families, our own incarnate communities of love. May the Holy Trinity bless all of our families, and especially our parish family, on this wonderful Holy Trinity weekend.